Welcome to the Grandview Sunday Service podcast for September the 27th. I'm Joy Banks, recording this from my basement in Vancouver, in the unceded territories of the Squamish, Musqueam, and Tsleil-Waututh Nations. You know, we were trying for another outdoor service this week, but earlier on in the week when the forecasts were all confidently predicting lots and lots of rain for Sunday, we went ahead and canceled so that we'd have time to put together this podcast service as an alternative. And then, wouldn't you know it, as I record this on Friday, the rains have cleared and the forecast for Sunday has changed to sun. Now, while I really have no idea in the end what the weather will be like as you listen, I don't need any forecast to tell me that the Spirit of the Living God is present there with you now, raining down mercy and love in abundance. So I want to invite you to begin by orienting your heart and your mind to God's presence as I pray. Living God, you are here with us in this moment, in this place, and for this we are grateful. I ask for the gift of attention as we listen now. May we hear your words for this day and be strengthened by your presence. While so much of our life has taken very different shape this season, there's one unchanging gift that we can continue to offer one another and the world, and that's the gift of intercessory prayer. I want to invite you to engage this next song, O God of Tender Mercies by Emily Parsons Dickow, as a prayer. Is there someone on your heart that you want to ask God to be present to in a special way right now? Or maybe there's a situation in the world or in your life that desperately needs the compassionate action of God to bring transformation. Let's hold these up intentionally in prayer as we listen or sing along with Emily. We continue our study in the book of James today with a final sermon by Pastor Jody Sparger. Jody's done an incredible job of serving as our interim pastor these last 6 months, and we'll have some time in the weeks ahead to share our words of gratitude, but today we get the treat of hearing from her. Before she shares, though, let's hear the scripture read today for us by Melanie Colnett.
A reading from the book of James, chapter 4, verses 16 through chapter 5, verse 6. As it is, you brag about the evil plans your pride produces. This kind of bragging is evil. So suppose someone knows the good deeds they should do, but they don't do them. By not doing these good deeds, they sin. You rich people, listen to me, cry and weep, because you will soon be suffering. Your riches have rotted, moths have eaten your clothes, your gold and silver have lost their brightness. Their dullness will be a witness against you. Your wanting more and more will eat your body like fire. You have stored up riches in these last days. Look, you've even failed to pay the workers who mowed your fields. Their pay is crying out against you. The cries of those who gathered the harvest have reached the ears of the Lord Almighty. You have lived an easy life on earth, and you have given yourselves everything you wanted. You have made yourselves fat like cattle that will soon be butchered. You've judged and murdered people who aren't guilty and who weren't opposing you. This is the word of the Lord.
I
Hello, Grandview. Jody here. This is going to be my last sermon with you for a while as I transition out of this interim role in the next couple of weeks. And I just wanted to take the opportunity to say thank you for the gift it's been to walk with you in this time. I'm wondering if you've noticed all the horse chestnut seeds that have fallen in the wind and rain of the past week. They've been delightful little prayer reminders for me that we should sow these seeds of peace. I hope that they serve as a reminder for you in the same way. This week we're going to continue on from that theme of sowing the seeds of peace for a harvest of righteousness in our study of James as we press into this question, the question that James has been asking throughout. If we really believe the good news of Jesus, what kind of life would we live? And what kind of community would be formed in our midst? And today I want to ask three questions of you in dialogue with the text. I want to ask you, first, have you received what James might see as the gift of the past 6 to 7 months? And secondly, do our prayers and actions for justice and peace stop with our own self-interest? And thirdly, what gets you out of bed in the morning? So the first question, have you received the gift of the past 6 months, or what James would perhaps see as the gift of the last 6 to 7 months? He begins this section with, "Now listen, you who say today or tomorrow, we will go to this or that city and spend a year there, carry on business and make money." From the position of today, these verses make me laugh. With James, we all can see the ridiculousness of such a claim. In pandemic realities, with borders closed, levels of lockdown imminently changeable, and an economy that's being turned on its head. Now, I'm certainly not saying that those situations are laughable. I know that there is grief and pain and loss associated with each of those realities. But can we see and receive the gifts present in this moment as well? Can we receive the gift of the fact that our confidence in these things that are fleeting has been shaken? They've been put in perspective of what we do and do not have control over. Have we allowed these circumstances to press us to deeper prayer, to orienting our way differently, looking for God, rooting our identity in God's love for us and for this world? For some of us, we've been set free from previous tyrannies, maybe of our schedules or our plans or our expectations, only to have new ones replace it. So I want to invite you right now, if you've not received this gift of reorientation in these past months, what would it look like to turn towards God in this moment and to recognize the imperfect gift of community that's vital in helping us stay oriented to God, who is our only real hope, especially in the face of the griefs, the fears, and the anxieties and expectations that we hold for the future? Let me come back to that comment about this imperfect community. Because for some of you, there are deep hurts and disappointments about community. Let me expose some of the disappointments that perhaps have felt like they've been made worse and not better by the pandemic. There are things we planned for in the spring or fall in terms of conversations and closure with Tim and his departure from pastoring here. There are conversations that need to happen between individuals where there's hurt and misunderstanding that feels thwarted by pandemic realities. There is pain and illness in our midst that doesn't feel like it's being adequately attended to. Conversations that we need to have about who we are as a church and what moving forward means and looks like. And those are made very difficult in these circumstances, a challenge that that the staff and council carry in particular ways that many of us probably haven't even been aware of. And there's a temptation to put our hope in our plans or our despair in our inability to make and see those plans come to fruition. But what if? What if we were able to trust that God is still in control? What if we were to put our hope in the Spirit's ability to not be thwarted by these circumstances? And what if there are movements for justice that are actually uniquely possible now? A pastor friend of mine asked just last week, what if we've temporarily lost our ability to sing together, a pain that she was experiencing being voiced very heartily in her community, and a pain that I know that a disappointment that many of us carry as well. But she asked, what if we've temporarily lost our ability to sing together so that our passion for justice would be as strong as our desire to sing together? Our passion for the harmony of life lived together in a just way would be as strong as our desire to hear our voices blend together. It's a good question. And it leads us to that second question, the question, what about justice? Right? James doesn't simply want to see a disruption in our well-laid plans. He wants to challenge the things that the church is pursuing. And he wants to call out the injustices that they were participating in. In chapter 5, James takes on behaviors of hoarding, of unjust labor practices, of exploitation of the land, and disregard for human life, especially those when those lives inconvenience the rich and the powerful or disrupt the status quo. Does any of that sound like the headlines of this week? The battle over the Mi'kmaq fishing rights in the Maritimes, Latino farm workers insufficiently housed with inadequate access to safe hygiene in the midst of the coronavirus, the ongoing climate crisis, the failure of justice in the grand jury's decision in Kentucky to not move forward with charges against any of the officers involved in the murder of Breonna Taylor. Verse 6 reads, you have condemned and murdered the innocent one who is not opposing you. All feels pretty relevant. But I also hear you saying, where is the hope? And what am I supposed to do about all of this anyway? I hear those of you who are saying, I have a hard enough time getting out of bed in the morning without all of this on my shoulders as well. Well, that leads us to question number 3. What gets you out of bed? I want to offer that boasting needs to get you out of bed. Now, some of you who've been paying attention noticed that James condemned boasting at the beginning of this section. But if we look carefully, he doesn't actually say that boasting is wrong. He says that the kind of boasting that the people were doing was wrong, that they were boasting in their abilities and their plans. So what then is good boasting? And for this, we need some movie references. So in the ancient world, a boast was what got troops stirred up to go out into hand-to-hand combat, knowing that many of them would never come back alive. Your boast or your rally cry in that situation needed to be pretty compelling. And because of my age, the movie reference for that rallying speech is the 1995 movie Braveheart, and I'll give it to you as a pandemic gift that you could watch on one of these long nights this winter. A more contemporary reference would be Black Panther. In both of those movies, the leaders are compelling their people to face a foe that is bigger and stronger, more well-equipped than they are. Their pursuit is one of justice, not only for themselves, but for their people and the land. And I am not promoting armed rebellion or the idea that bringing about the peaceable kingdom needs to happen through violence. But those battle settings do communicate that sense of being all in. But what are we to boast in? What is our rally cry? What gets us out of the bed in the morning when our best laid plans have been decimated and the sense of the world falling apart at the seams overwhelms us? It's present in verse 8. It is this message that God is coming near. Be patient, stand firm, says James. Because God is drawing near to us. Our rally cry is in the presence of God, with and for not only us, but for God's purposes to bring about his kingdom. Our hope is not in our deeds of justice, even. Our hope is not in our care for the poor and the oppressed or our ability to live more justly. But it is in God's action. God's action and love in the world, because of which we can risk being all in joining God. So our boast, our rally cry, our prayer that I want to offer to you this week is, God, let your kingdom come. Through the words of our mouths and the work of our hands, even in places we don't see. We're going to hear and sing this song, and I would invite you to make it a prayer that can gather up all that you carry today, all of your hopes and your fears. And may our prayer be walked by feet that travel the path of justice and peace to God's glory. Amen.
Father, let your kingdom come. You may all. Hello, Grandview, this is Jake, and these are your community announcements. Meshach got glasses. They are red, and they are also super, super bendy. It was Kylie's birthday last week. She turned 9. Oliver turned 18 on Thursday. Happy birthdays to both Kylie and Oliver. The care team is still doing its thing. If you or someone you know needs prayer or some material, non-monetary help, please check out the resources section on the church website to get in contact with the care team. Please continue to hold Sam in your prayers as he battles cancer. There are a few others in our congregation who are also fighting cancer, so let's continue to be constant in our prayer for them. Finally, next week, Sunday service will be over Zoom, so be on the lookout for the link in your email. These have been your community announcements.
Friends, now go with God into your week with the prayer on your lips that God's kingdom would come and God's will be done, that God might use the work of our hands, the actions of our feet, the seeds of peace that fill our pockets, to bring about God's justice, God's healing, God's wholeness in the world, to His glory, having gone before us and walking with us. Amen.